Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Oi, the boys and girls on Footy Prime on occasion are known to use vulgarities and frankly appalling language. And sometimes the tales can get quite adult in nature. So keep the volume down if there are kiddies around. And thank you for listening.
Oh, let's go!
Booty, booty.
It's time to get this party started.
Booty, booty.
It's time to get this party started. You know that we are the number one show. So grab your fucking mitts and now it's time to go. Cause it's the
booty, booty.
It's time to get this party started. It's the
booty, booty.
It's time to get this party started. With Danny, Jimmy, Gregor,
Andy, Jimmy, JC.
All we know and all we talk about is
booty, booty.
It's time to get this party started tonight.
You're listening to Footy Prime News and Dubs, your one-stop destination for footy news and dubs. Yeah, that's Amy Walsh. Footy Prime, your almost daily footy fix.
On.
Was that taking it too far?
No, it never is.
No, it's Friday. Is that your sunny shirt in the background?
Unwashed. It's still sullied.
Is that why it's stuck to the wall?
That's right.
Is it stuck to the wall? I can't.
Yeah.
It looks good.
It's on a mirror. I just kind of threw it up and it's stuck. Yeah.
Is it cool hanger?
Post-ejaculate. It was just kind of threw it up.
We need to draw a line under that joke, don't you think? Can we agree?
Might it be?
Yes.
We draw a line under that joke?
No. I think it's brilliant. I think it's good bringing it back all the time.
Self-proclaimed.
Yes, exactly. Wire says it's brilliant.
Well, it's Footy Prime and it's news and dubs. Dubs is here and Wong is here. Craig's here. Hey, Craig.
Hey.
I'm Sean. JC's here. Well, we'll be here. No Brennan, so he's visiting a friend and lots of kids at the house apparently. Now, the excuse is, oh, there's too many kids. I'll be a game time decision on Friday morning. No, he's hungover like a whore in a bad brothel. I don't know where that was going.
Good brothels?
I've never
good
been.
Question.
He wouldn't score with a fistful of 50s.
There we go. But that's why Jimmy's absent. He's not because of too many kids running around. It's freaking 8:30 in the morning. There's no kids running around.
Sharms, you're missing one detail. At 11 o'clock, it was, hey, I'm a game time decision. At 1:15, it was, hey, guys, I'm out.
Oh, yeah.
Was that the time frame, was it?
That's what I was going to add as well, to give everybody context. He made the call at like 1:30 a.m.
Pulled the shoot. I am done with Footy Prime for Friday.
It's okay. You know, there's enough of us. We can take the occasional show off. It's okay. Now, we'd prefer to have a little bit of notice so we could potentially book someone else, but that's okay. We'll be all right. We've got Flaccid 4 coming up. Craig's got a beauty this week. Looking forward to that. We've got footy picks. And you know, I put it at the end of the show, but we should mention it off the top, actually, because we might forget. But our boy, Dave Starkey, Starkers, is undergoing his second knee surgery. Is it next week, right?
Next Thursday.
Starkers, we're thinking of you, pal. You still got a week or so, or a few days to hobble around on the broken knee. But all the best to you, pal. You crushed it the first time around. Second time is even easier, right?
Yeah. No, right. I mean, on one hand, it's even more difficult because you know what you're getting yourself into. So like mentally, it must be so tough, right?
So yeah, my dad did back-to-backs.
Yeah.
My dad did back-to-backs, you know, just recovered from the first surgery or thereabouts, and then boom, back in for the second.
Mm. I can't imagine it. But he said he's going to be really relying on us for the laughs, so we'll keep it.
Well, with Wonga's ejaculate stories, how can we not?
And it was Starkey who was most disgusted with water.
I know.
He really was.
So he should be. It's disgusting.
Makes me smile.
That is the shock.
Someone out that much.
We are sorry, leaping Stark. Over that shock.
I'm thinking of you, Starks, if you want me to.
Should we get some football talk? Yeah, right now. I'm sorry I brought it back up again. But here we go. Champions League draw and Europa League draw this morning, actually. Champions League draw is pretty juicy. Arsenal, Bayern Munich. So, yeah, Harry Kane back to London against Arsenal. Real Madrid, Man City. That's one half of the semi-final bracket. Quarter-final bracket, sorry. PSG, Barca. And Atletico against Dortmund. All right, Dubs, which one's screaming out to you? That's the one I have to cancel my afternoon and make sure I'm watching that intently.
I mean, there are lots of great storylines, right? Arsenal against Bayern. You mentioned it, Harry Kane coming up against his old London rivals. But then the last time Bayern and Arsenal clashed, Arsenal were on the wrong end of a 5-1 result. So I'm going to be watching that one. But I mean, it's got to be Real Madrid and City, right? Like that's going to be like two juggernauts going toe-to-toe. I mean, I think that might be determining your winner in that game, in that quarterfinal. But I mean, PSG Barca, you've got Luis Enrique facing his former team that he led to Champions League in 2015. So that's an interesting narrative as well. And I guess the one that I care the least about is Dortmund versus Atletico. I'm just going about my day and I'll get the result after.
But there's something about Simeone, Craig, isn't there? I mean, 12 years at Atletico. We keep thinking this will be the last year. But he keeps putting together good seasons, and he's not going to win La Liga this year. In fact, they're fighting for top four football, but at times they've looked un-Atletico-like. They've been quite attacking at times, but then they always fall back to the tried and tested. I don't know, that might be the one to watch in some ways, Craig.
Well, I mean, he's done an amazing job there. You can see why. I think is he still the highest paid manager in the world?
He might be, yeah.
He might
that
be,
stunned
right?
me.
Yeah. He's been there for absolutely ages, and he's done an amazing job.
How much does he get paid?
I don't know if it's actually...
We talked this a few months ago, didn't we? Did
it like 20 or 30 million euros or something crazy?
Yeah.
An insane amount of money for a manager.
He's so intense, isn't he? Like on the sideline, he is so intense. I love it.
Do you see him this week in the Champions League? Like he was just going, he blew a hamstring. Celebrating at one point and then he ends up like lying down on the grass. He couldn't, and it was a crazy match, right? It really was. But he brings so much.
His salary.
Mm-hmm.
So at his current club Atletico, his current yearly salary stands at 39 million euro. Is that possible? Equating to about $50 million.
Holy
this makes the Argentine the highest paid manager in world football today.
Well, I mean, if you think what he does with a team that isn't even close to the financial might of the Real Madrid's, Barcelona's, Man City's, but he keeps them. He won the championship 3 years ago. He keeps that club relevant. Yeah. And 12 years at a club nowadays is almost unheard of.
Mm-hmm. Money well spent.
Yeah, I'd say. But both those teams, nothing to lose, right? Really, Dortmund and Atletico. That's why I think they might, as much as Atletico at this point in Champions League tournaments generally go to what works for them, that is just awful, negative defensive football. But they have got that ability with Griezmann to attack. They've shown that at times this year. But Dortmund, we know what they're good at. Sancho was really good this week, for example, finally. That could be the one to watch. But you're right. I mean, Real Madrid, Man City is the sexy one, isn't it?
It is.
Who's the Who should be favorite in that one, Craig? The defending champions or Real, who have been kind of up and down, but when they've been up, boy, they've been up this year.
Yeah, that's a tough one to call. I would say, yeah, Man City, just because the champions and, yeah. But a difficult one to basically pick between those two brilliant sides. And I think Amy's right. I think it might be the winner, whoever wins that tie.
It'd be great to see City bow out, wouldn't it?
But then Real Madrid? At Real Madrid's expense? I mean, they always win at Real Madrid. They're the most boring. Oh, guess who's in the final? Real Madrid. That's not fun.
We might be seeing them in finals more often in the future than you might have to get used to that.
I think so.
They're looking at.
Arsenal are that close to a semi-final berth, right? When was the last time they've made the semi-finals? Have they?
Oh, shit.
Have they?
Oh, yeah. They were in the final years ago.
I think after they qualified for the quarters, I think I saw a stat that said like that was the first time they'd made it to the final eight in close to a decade. Is that possible?
Yeah. I would.
Well, they weren't in it for a long time, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Post-Wenger, even during Wenger's last couple of years at the club, they were not a European force by any stretch.
No. Good side.
No, I think they've got a chance in that game against in those two games against Bayern. I really think they do. They're playing really good football.
I would think they're the favorites in that one, aren't they?
Yeah, I would think so. I
mean, can someone look up Tony Bet?
What do I know about betting?
Tony Bet though must have the odds now for the quarterfinals, right?
Yeah, they would now as of well.
JC, are you in that?
Thanks, Arsenal has never won the Champions League, but they did reach the final with the help of five Henry goals during the 2005-2006 season. They won their group and beat Real Madrid, Juventus, and Villarreal during the knockout stage.
And they lost to who in the final? I have no recollection of that whatsoever.
Yeah, we covered it at Sportsnet.
They lost to Barca.
Oh, was it? Yeah, well, that makes sense.
Yeah. And I have to say, I watched that Barca-Napoli match. Wow, that was great soccer. I'm just like, sometimes I was surprised by how much I enjoyed it. It was end-to-end, great goaltending, great keeping. I don't
goalkeeping.
Know.
Goalkeeping. Atta boy. Good correction.
Keeping. Well done.
They dumped it in. No, I'm just kidding. There was a lot of forechecking. And no, but it was – you know, when you see the best clubs play week after, like in this tournament, it's something special. Like, I understand why people get all, you know, horned up.
All a flutter.
Yeah.
I think for Barca, though, yes, it's great for them to make it to the final eight just performance wise, but you have to think the financial implications of them making it to the final eight was equally as important.
Mm.
It's massive, right? Isn't it another 15 million or so, I think, for getting this far, for winning that game. And for them, with all those levers they have, financial levers, I think that can maybe affect some more levers.
Maybe that's what's wrong with your oven, Sharms. It's the
why do you say levers like that? What is the implication with all this lever talk?
Because the whole Barca, how they're actually alive and even, you know, functioning right now is because of these financial levers they're using. They're basically mortgaging like 20 years from now, and they're selling everything you can imagine within Barcelona. They're kind of selling or leasing through these financial levers.
Xabi Alonso has the best one. He's got the best lever in world football as he coaches Leverkusen,
and he might be levering pretty soon for Liverpool.
Jesus.
On fire, Dubs. We should be like, you know, it's like me and Dubs are like, you know, like the comedy duo. You got the straight man and the funny man. Only we're both funny.
David Brent.
I think it's David Brent line has something like that.
I have numbers.
Oh,
do you want to be outright overall? Like if they take the whole thing?
Yeah.
Plus 438.
For City?
For Arsenal?
That's for Arsenal. Oh, for City, it's plus 170.
Are they favorites?
Well, yeah, but Dortmund's second at plus 2119. I'm kidding.
Dortmund are?
No, they're least. So City, then Arsenal, then Madrid, then Bayern, Paris, Barcelona, Atletico, and then Dortmund.
So that's all the degenerate Brits just throwing money at the British teams. That's what that is. If Arsenal are second favorites over Real Madrid, I guess it was City being favorites, then it can't be Real Madrid, right? And maybe that's how it works.
Is it how that works? I don't know.
We should maybe sprinkle some on today.
Well, yeah, we should. Also, talking about degenerate Brits, go Team William.
Oh, what? Christ.
What happened?
No.
We don't know.
All the speculation is he's cheating on his wife, and it's fantastic. The monarchy's going down, Sharms, while you're over here in the new world.
You're going to be the king. I mean, if anyone's got a right to cheat, it's him, isn't it?
Oh,
yeah, that's why I'm Team William. He could do anything.
Maybe that's
him. That's him pulling his lever.
Yeah.
Maybe who's pulling his lever is the issue.
You better not lever it in too long.
God.
Another heir to the throne suddenly.
I asked you guys the other night for suggestions on like Netflix or Prime or for shows, and I ended up going back to The Crown because I'd watched the first season and maybe some of the second, then kind of left it and went to something else. And because of all the speculation and the rumors around Kate and Will, all of a sudden I'm like diving right back into The Crown season four when Diana makes an appearance.
Oh, Diana makes the first appearance?
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I think I'm all caught up now with The Crown, actually. The most recent one, Chucky Boy, takes a prominent role.
Rather stick pins in my eyes.
It's a pretty good soap opera, actually. If you forget that it's the actual royal family and it's just pure fiction, it's actually quite enjoyable.
Can you imagine the writers now with all this going on? They're like, it's all happening.
Yeah.
You watch my suggestion, Doves? The doc?
Ghostbusters?
Yeah. It's all about...
Didn't get to it.
In the 80s, there was a real paranormal phenomenon that was happening in New York City. So what they did was they contacted some scientists that could really get to the bottom of it. And then they created, this technology. And they were able to save the city, right, from these specters and ghouls, etc. So to this day, there's not a problem with the paranormal in New York as much as it would have been had it not been for these heroes. And they document it really, really well.
I remember one of them was called Peter Venkman, Dr. Peter Venkman, and I was a big fan.
Huge.
He was a good break dancer too.
Yeah. Wonder what he's doing nowadays. I bet he's got a podcast.
That would be a great podcast.
It would. Busting podcast. Yeah. The Venkman Files.
The sad part of it, though, is that one of them actually turned. So one of the Ghostbusters actually turned and joined the ghosts and is now one of them.
Really? Really? He's actually a ghost now. So
rest in peace, Harold Ramis.
I think there's a few careers that may have
died. That's really interesting. I apologize.
Recent Ghostbusters is three women, right? It's actually quite funny. Yeah, is it Melissa McCarthy?
But then there's a more recent iteration of it with Paul Rudd that I really want to watch. But the one with
Melissa McCarthy. Yeah, it's a well-done movie if we're joking around. It's a great movie, this remake. Or it's not a remake. It's actually a continuation of the first Ghostbusters. It's great.
And it's not with Melissa McCarthy?
No, they did that with a all-female cast as the ghostbusting team. It flopped.
but I loved it. About? And there's Kate McKinnon and Kristen Wiig and Melissa McCarthy. Like, I adore
You're just a fangirl. It was a shitty movie.
How did we get here? I forget.
My partner's a writer and my standards are high all of a sudden.
It all started with Wonger. The talk of William.
Oh,
Prince William.
William led to ghostbusting.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Good.
Okay, that's how I was trying to figure it out. How do we get to Ghostbusters? I like it. I like the segue.
the documentary, the ghost busting documentary.
The documentary, yeah. Oh, that's right. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Because Dubs wanted to watch a show, got drawn back to The Crown. JC's suggestion was the documentary Ghostbusters. That's right. Okay.
I just thought of a joke. It might be very poor. But what do you call a ghoul who betrays his friends? A turn ghost. Turn ghost.
And this is what we have to work with, Footy Prime listeners.
Yeah.
This is what we get.
No.
On Charms, a Friday morning.
Did you see all my puns on your pie post yesterday?
Oh, I did. I ignored them for a reason.
Who was behind you,
James? I spammed it.
Behind me?
There was a man just walked behind you.
Oh, yeah. I don't know.
Was it a man?
It was a ghost.
Was it a ghost?
Some guy.
You know what? This.
There's a man behind you pulling his lever.
Jimmy? No, our factory here, like at night, it's pretty spooky. And I catch things out the side of my eye sometimes when I'm here by myself. Mm. And there could be a ghost here.
Ghostbusters?
Yes.
Robots in disguise.
But knowing it's half the battle.
Shall we get back to the football?
Sure.
I still don't understand Dubs' joke, by the way. I know it's a bad one. I don't even get it.
Turncoat. I know.
Wow.
I was hoping it was so bad it's
funny.
Good?
No.
Yeah.
It's okay. Yeah. I stand by it.
We love you for trying.
You do. Kevin Blue is officially on the job. He's officially on the job as Canada Soccer's General Secretary and CEO. And he made some promises yesterday.
Yep.
And what are those promises? Sorry, I haven't seen them yet. I've been so slaving over a hot stove.
He made three promises. So first he said, today is my first official day. And people were noticing that he already made it longer than the last secretary. So that was kind of funny. His first promise was maximum effort to learn and earn your trust as a newcomer. Many of you have spent your entire lives dedicated to soccer. I am humbly joining you now on this journey. Oh, isn't that how Dan Wong started his journey for Footy Prime? I think I said the same thing.
Did.
Professional leadership. I think I said the same thing there. Uh-oh. At Canada Soccer, we will rebuild trust and leadership credibility. I will draw on my experiences and skills from a variety of settings to lead us forward. And number three will be determination to unify. We will work relentlessly, good word, to get stakeholders on the same page at this critical time. We must all be aligned for our sport to capitalize on once-in-a-generation opportunities. I will communicate. This was a good one. I will communicate with you regularly and transparently. I will be steady and consistent. We will all move forward together. Sounds a bit like a eulogy, though, at the same time. I thought that was really well crafted.
That's the best one at the end there.
Yeah.
Forget about diving into specifics. Yes, capitalizing on once in a generation talent on both sides, men's and women's team. I think just in the tipping point we're at in this country with potential success on the world stage. But the Federation, who has failed to sort of meet those same expectations or that same level. But just that he's putting himself out there to say, I know there's work to be done and I will be okay to be held accountable for that, but I will continue to keep you updated. I will let you know what's happening. That to me is the biggest and most significant step with this hiring.
Do you think, Dubs, that, you know, him coming from another area, Golf Canada, doesn't matter where he's coming from, but that experience, do you think it's actually helpful in this situation that he's actually coming from a different area, coming in fresh, doesn't really know what's going on, but he's going to be transparent and he's going to be open about everything? It almost helps the situation, as opposed to if he was already in football, he would be probably more critical of him, but seems to be saying all the right things.
Yeah, I agree with you, Craig, and that's an interesting perspective, because the criticism early on was that another person who doesn't come from football, doesn't have a footballing pedigree, but in its own way, you know, Canada's unique, has its unique challenges in the geography and in the landscape and the lack of support from the government for sport. I could go on and on with that list. So he's going to be creative in his solutions and draw from different spheres and realms. And that's what we need. We need somebody who can think on his or her feet. And he's shown that he's doing that, but he's also going to outsource help where he doesn't have experience. And I think that's also a big piece of the puzzle. But yeah, I think he's doing all the right things early on.
I guess it's a fine line though, right? I mean, I get that 100%, having that almost that naivety about the goings on within the Canadian soccer culture may not be a bad thing, right? You're like, fresh perspectives, everything. But on the other side, you want someone with contacts, or at least I think in his case, he understands that and he will find those people who have contacts within the game. But it's all about raising money, isn't it? And there hasn't been much money in the game in this country. So maybe you have to have someone with that vision to look outside beyond football, beyond soccer, to find those resources. So, you know, I'd say this much. He started officially yesterday, Thursday. But you kind of get the impression, just the social media side of Canada Soccer right now, since he wasn't announced, has stepped its game up. It's been actually very good. I wonder if that's his influence already. It wouldn't surprise me at all. I'm not willing yet to give him the credit for these great friendlies that they've scheduled. Maybe he had an influence there as well, but maybe there's someone behind the scenes working their asses off, watching Kevin Blue get all the credit and saying, for fuck's sakes.
Well, communications lead Paulo Senra, where we all have his email at this point, which I can't say happened on the last group of people who were communicators and all that kind of stuff, as far as coming, going back and forth. And I, even having that, I would say it started before. And I think Paulo has done a better job at elevating a lot of the communications and being a little more transparent. And, you know, I have no idea how that works with the players and the coaches and all that, but it seems to be a little more transparent already. But, you know, this whole changing of the guard, I think it's a great thing that he comes from a different area. I think transferable skills, you know, it's even when I'm talking to you guys about what we need from each other to make Footy Prime good, it's what are your skills you can lean into? And this guy comes from a place where he'll understand the money. And if he knows that's number one, then you make it the number one priority, as long as the communication works too. So, hey, the revisiting of the CSB deal, what happens there? Are we revisiting it?
Modernization, right?
Is that what it would be?
That's what it was quoted to be.
Is number one for what is number one? His priority. So you got to get a men's coach, right? You got to get labor peace, and you got to raise a shitload of money. what's the? I mean, listen, they're all probably equally as important. Big picture, you got to raise money.
Can't do that without labor peace
because optically it looks like a mess right now.
I think you can live with the mess for a while you figure out your cash reserves, to be perfectly honest. It's been this way. You let that sit, as much as it's a great soundbite to say, hey, this is all solved. There's obviously something in between this labor contract not being signed. So you let it be for a bit and you start on your fundraising and you start gaining trust across the board from everybody involved in soccer. I mean, it's hard. We've talked about the silos here, and I'm, you know, being new to it, I never expected it to be this dramatic. Like, hey, this provincial federation, this, like, these guys, everyone is fighting each other. That's how it seems. Everyone wants to win, right?
Yep. I think you start by doing the little things right, the small things that maybe look insignificant compared to the three things you just named, Sharms, which are extremely overwhelming. You're not going to fix them overnight. So you do the things that you can control, which is communicate regularly and transparently. You book fixtures. You underline good work where it's being done in certain spaces, like Canadian soccer employees who have continued to toil kind of in the shadows. You make sure that the women's team is well set up with send-off games and support prior to the Olympics in Paris. And there's also been rumblings of a new kit drop. So all of these things are doing the little things right, but it's also appeasing fans. It's getting more people on board with your messaging. And then all the while, when you continue to do like the surface superficial things right, you're perhaps attacking those bigger problems. But at least optically, things are smoothed over a little bit. And is that part of, you know, the strategic plan? Perhaps not. But to me, it goes a long way towards mending that broken relationship, because that's another one that's broken. It's not just the labor strife. It's not just the provincial stakeholders. It's not just, you know, potential sponsors and the dumpster fire that is Canada Soccer right now, with the players not wanting to wear the sponsors on their kit. It's also the relationship between fans that you want to be galvanized in supporting these national teams, but feel like they can't because the federation can't get it right. So smooth that over, make that right. And it seems like they're taking the right steps in order to do that.
And I think the social media side of things is really, really important, as the mainstream companies and TV companies in this country not being covering it. They're putting all their eggs into other sports. They have to rely on themselves to be able to get news out there and put out content that is gripping and interesting to soccer fans. Kind of what we're doing.
Yes, kind of.
like you guys on your pods this week, I listened to three questions TFC three questions and Whitecaps three questions and your pod yesterday with Mark Watson, and it's compelling shit. We're putting out good content. And of course, Montreal, by the way, Dubs.
And Montreal, you and Ollie were fantastic this week.
Oh, thank you. But I think Starkey said it as well, to go back to good old Starks, is I don't think it's an accident that these three Canadian clubs are undefeated. I think it's due in large part to our three mini pods, you guys.
I think you're right.
And I took full responsibility for Footy Prime. So it is us who have made them undefeated, just so everyone knows.
Well, here's an example for Canada Soccer to kind of copy us. This is us controlling the message, right? And that's so important for Canada Soccer, control the message, because up until now, the last couple of years, they haven't, right? The various factors have been slipping and feeding.
It's been the media. Black and white movie with the train and the music, and it's careening off the cliff because the
bridge. It's Harold Lloyd. Harold Lloyd.
Don't hang it off a clock.
But that's what it's been. So it doesn't take very much effort to improve it.
And, it doesn't. And the bar's low.
Steps. Yes, but they're moving in the right direction.
And to our younger listeners, please look up Harold Lloyd so you understand the context that Sharms just referred.
For the record, yeah, like he's before us even.
He's black and white.
He's like well before us. Yeah,
silent
are
films.
There levers?
Oh, there's levers, and there's like, you know, there's a kind of comedy with Harold Lloyd where there's a lever and then there's a trapdoor and someone falls through the trapdoor, and it's usually Harold Lloyd.
Wile E. Coyote, did all his own stunts,
by the way. Yes, yeah, exactly.
Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah, yeah. The Acme Dynamite.
Dynamite. Mm-hmm. Yeah, TNT, not the sports station. But yeah, I believe the AGM is it May? It's May, yep. I think, isn't it? It's going to be fascinating, because I think there will be some competition for Charmaine. And that could potentially reshape the leadership once again. But we'll have Kevin Blue on the show. We have put the request in. Not putting pressure on Canada Soccer. He's a busy man right now. We understand that. But we are really very important.
Yes, and with three alumni on the show, and he has done his due diligence to reach out to all of the alumni. And that can't be discounted. That's something that previous people, despite being alumni themselves, have not really made a great effort on. It's kind of been piecemeal here and there, but he made it part of his plan initially to say, this is important to me, this is important to the program and to Canada Soccer, that there's an involvement, there's contributions from these people, however it might take shape. They're not, you know, he's not asking them to fulfill roles or asking us to fulfill roles, but we're being, you know,
canvas for your IQ, canvas for your opinion.
Yeah.
It's so important. You're bang on there. And we said it before on this show, I know that, but the lack of any kind of connection to the past, to the alumni, has been, I think, one of the biggest failings of Canada Soccer over the years. very few ex-players stay involved. Very few. And I don't get it, because they can present a perspective that is needed, I think. Certainly, and maybe you could have avoided labor disputes, labor strife, had you had that relationship built prior to this. So anyway, we'll at some point get Kevin on the show, and we'll ask him all these questions. Flaccid Four time? Yeah?
Flaccid Four.
But I always think of Flaccid Four and Dartman being sounding to have the same.
The hottest takes on the hottest questions from the hottest team in sports. This is the Flaccid Four. Four questions. The six of us. That's what they call it. Flaccid Four. Funny Prime presents the Flaccid Four.
Not tonight, honey.
So good.
By the way, the Flaccid Four is still available for sponsorship. If someone wants to jump in there, throw some money behind it.
Brought to you by Cialis.
I think Cialis or, you know, Viagra, any of those stimulators?
No, I think it would be like a pasta, like, because it's getting flaccid.
Oh,
like as it wilts. Yeah, Italian pasta, the most flaccid of pastas.
We're available, put it that way, for sale. So if you want to sponsor this segment, please go right ahead, because, you know, everyone takes it so seriously. It's a good segment. We're going to miss Jimmy today. Really miss Jimmy. It's too bad. So Jimmy got 0 points. He's last on today. Today it's myself, Craig, and Dubs with the questions. Dubs, how about we start with you?
Okay, sounds good. Who's keeping score this week?
I'll keep score.
Okay. You always are anyway.
What's that mean? What is that in reference to?
I don't know. Yeah.
You're always keeping score. What? So weird line.
You're such a turn ghost.
Now it's funny.
Yes.
Ghost and coat don't even rhyme.
I know.
Okay. Charms and I are strategizing your how when we move on from Amy. It's just one of those things. Everyone, just so you know, Amy, we're having a chat with you at the end of this podcast, mm-hmm. and you might not hear from Amy on Monday. Just so
no, I told it was Mark Watson. I said that we're probably firing Craig or Jimmy.
Yes.
Truth is, we're firing Amy.
It was a ploy.
All right, well, I'm out.
She's so distracted by the goddamn emojis.
Bye, guys. Okay, we all set?
Yeah.
Yep.
Okay, a longtime favorite of Gareth Southgate, Calvin Phillips has not been included on the England roster for friendlies versus Brazil and Belgium later this month. Do you remember falling out of favor with a boss or a gaffer after initially making a good impression? Did you manage to turn it around in the end? We will start with Forrest.
Did I ever turn it around?
Or just the first one, more importantly, and then if you want to follow up with, were you able to turn it around?
What was the first one?
Okay. Too involved is a question. I will amend it for next time. Were you ever in a situation where you made a great first impression, were in really good favor, and then all of a sudden you just weren't in the plans anymore? You fell out of favor.
Not overly, I would say. Maybe at West Ham, perhaps. When they brought in Xhaka on a Bosman ruling. So he kind of knew that they were pushing for him to be in the team. Spent a lot of money on him. Was doing quite well, but nature of the business. But not overly, not like that.
So was it the question? Was it the answer? I'll give you 6. Yeah. Sorry, Forrest. It like pains me to do so because I love you so much. But
thanks.
Not your best answer.
We need to bring in another analyst on the Bosman ruling. And
yeah.
Craig's back up.
Maybe my question shit. We'll see. Wonger.
Not a boss. Not athletically. But personally, my old girlfriend's parents loved me when they met me. And by the end of our relationship, they hated me.
I wonder why.
Just because I broke up with their daughter and
the infidelity.
No, I wasn't. Well,
the whacking off in their
into their soccer clothes. They're specifically their soccer clothes.
He's in the closet again, doing that thing.
No, it was just, you know what?
He's clean.
Our families had met and everything seemed like it was going in the right direction, and it didn't go in the right direction. And they were supporting their daughter, but it was a visceral, like when I saw them the last time, it was like, you know, gave me the the bad eye, the evil eye. I got the stink eye from them, and I was but great family. It was just, you know, it had run its course. Wonger time had run its course.
Takes about 10 days.
Craig is at his maximum after I exploited his sleeping on the last podcast last Friday.
Kind of like a prescription for penicillin, 10-day course. I liked it. Good answer. Yeah. And kind of unexpected. I give you a 9.
Oh, I love that.
Charms.
This is a difficult one because most people just love me throughout, you know?
Minus 5.
You're going to say, does my wife count?
Yeah.
She's a big fan at first. You know, when I first started working at Fox, which turned into Sportsnet, there's this veteran old producer, ex-Sky, ex-BBC, who was putting together the Fox Soccer Report, and met him and, you know, got on pretty well. It was fine. Then my first rehearsal, he made me redo this one, like, throw to a pack. It must have been 15, 16 times. And he was old school. He was just screaming at me, saying, like, no, you got to do it like this. And, like, screaming at me. I was like, who the fuck is this guy? Like, he can't talk to me like that, to anyone like that. And I wasn't doing anything wrong. And then he was getting pissed off because I was pronouncing Cagliari wrong. He goes, it's Cagliari. It's like, no, it's not. It's Cagliari. It's fucking, I know this for a fact. And he just lost his shit with me to a point where I was close to freaking walking out, but then realized I had a mortgage to pay and couldn't do that. But then, and he would show up every few weeks because he lived in LA. Every few weeks he'd show up and it just caused this commotion, this storm within the show because everyone was terrified of him. But then by the end of it, we actually got on pretty well. And he took us all out for beers when the show was canceled, another show that I killed. And we had a great chat. So it kind of this kind of redemption arc, as Dubs would say, you know, by the end of it, it was great. But he's just really old school producer, very knowledgeable guy. Wanted things done his way and didn't like humor. He once told me, you're not a fucking clown or a comic. You're a sports broadcaster. Actually, I think I'm quite amusing at times. You know, I think people appreciate, you know, the little bit of banter. No, had to be like straight, boom, down the middle, present the sports, which I hate.
Did he work on the Starship Enterprise?
He was Scotty. Yeah, yeah.
He's the Bobby Ferguson of television.
Yeah, is that what it is? Yeah.
You fucking dummies.
Well, he thought it was Australian too, which pissed me off.
Oh my God. He sounds awful.
Yeah, it was tough, but it just came from a different generation of media. I don't like it, but a good guy deep down, and like I said, so experienced and helped a lot of people, but he just didn't like my shtick, didn't like the way I broadcast because...
Charms, I started in broadcast around that time too, and there were still those old school guys, eh? Old school guys and old school women who were just berating people. And you just like it was walk around. Everyone was in fear to get yelled at. And you're like, what is going on here?
It's not good.
Yeah, it's crazy.
Not conducive to a healthy working environment.
No.
And I don't mind being yelled at. If I fucked up,
out of people, right?
No.
Yeah, right.
No.
Especially in media. It should be fun, right? Doing sports, it's not important. It should be fun, right? And I'll go to my grave believing that. Have fun with it. Don't be a dick. Don't scream and yell at people. You know, you could have a quiet word with someone, have a quiet word with them, but this is done publicly in front of everyone.
I guess the secret's out that we didn't follow that rule with Dubs as we speak with her at the end of the show. Hey,
can you stand in line for 5 minutes, Dubs?
Yeah. I want to talk to you.
Listeners are like, how come Amy gets increasingly nervous and tense towards the end of episodes? Like, oh, I can't wait to get yelled at again. No, Charms, that was great because even I hate that guy. 9.5.
All right.
I know there was the redemption arc, but fuck that guy.
All right. Next up, Do you want the yours, Craig?
JC didn't answer.
Oh shit! Sorry, JC. Christ almighty.
Oh, that's fine. It's cool. It's fine. Well, I do have
minus
one,
five for Charm. Charm.
So can I start you off? You were working for your dad's company in a garage selling computers.
Yes. If you know who my dad was, I'd love to hear it. So every year, seeing it St. Paddy's weekend, every year for the last maybe 8 or 9 years, I've been hosting the festivities at the Amsterdam Brewhouse. And just, you know, on the microphone, introducing the band, like doing competitions, blah, 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 blah. Really making the party. That's what Jeff does sometimes when whatever. And it always starts off great. You know, it's like, hey, man, you're doing a great job. By the end of it, they've been feeding me drinks all day. So I'm just like, who's coming up next? We got don't you touch me. Hey, where's the bat? And then I'm throwing up on stage. It's brutal. But I'm redeemed every year when they call me and say, hey, we need you to come back and do it again. It's like, wow, okay. So I do good, then I fail. But then I redeem myself. All three in one. We'll be right back.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
What up, Primers? It's JC, that guy. Don't miss a second of Premier League action only on FuboTV. Subscribe at FuboTV.com/FootyPrime. With Serie A, League One, and One Soccer 2, you can get it all at FuboTV.com/FootyPrime. Now, back to the show.
It's kind of called the Trumpian effect.
Yeah.
Right?
He fails upward.
Yeah. Sure. Yeah, he failed.
No, but not the same.
Well, kind of, because he's going to get back in power, isn't he?
Yeah, but he gets back in power via being an extremely likable human being, unlike Donald Trump.
Right, I suppose there's that.
Oh.
Yeah, another minus right. Five for Charms.
I'm minus half now, right? Or something.
10 points, LJ.
There you go, JC won that round.
All right, we've got Craig and myself left. Craig, do you want to ask your question or do you want me to ask it for you?
Do I answer
Can you ask
mine?
It for me?
Yeah, you can answer yours, Dubs. You can answer yours.
I'll go really quick. I've alluded to this when we've talked about sort of my history as a player and playing pro. But when I was drafted to the San Jose Cyber Rays, so the first year of the WSA, I was a highly touted player. Julie Foudy's husband was the coach and he adored me. And then I had this one shocking game where it was just one of these games where nothing went right for me. It was this match where the matchup between me and this German player in the midfield was touted, or like part of the preview was how this match goes, or the way these performances go, so will the match. And I just had an absolute nightmare of a game. And then I rode the bench after that. And not only did I ride the bench, but he took every opportunity to belittle me. In practice, so on the pitch, but also off the pitch. So a really bad experience, and I did not like that guy at all, and there's no redemption arc. I just went from being one of these players that was going to be an international player, one of the best players, and I was through like the first three games, to all of a sudden not being considered for any minutes and just being treated kind of subhuman.
Was he Scottish?
English.
Ah. Well,
that explains it. Yeah.
That's good.
Not a nice guy.
Any points of Dubs? That's good. It's kind of sad.
I like that. I like that there was there was venom in that, you know, when she said there's no redemption arc, you know, she doesn't want to redemption.
Oh, no, she holds a grudge.
Oh, look at the grudge on her right now. You can see it. That picture of her and the tall Chinese man. There's a fight brewing. Yao Ming and her are about to fight. It's about to go off.
Why are you so fucking tall? Hate tall people.
I'll give you 8 points for that, Dubs.
Thank you.
And because I forgot to ask you as well for your answer, you should drop me some more points, like minus five.
I would. You're in, yeah, integers now.
He's at, like, no, I'm seven. Going to, he's at minus, he's at 4.5 right now.
All right. I'll ask for Craig then. Okay. So Craig submitted this early this morning. Inter Milan's Marcus Thuram made headlines when he grabbed Atletico Madrid's Stefan Savage by the Jimmy Brennans in the Champions League this past week.
The Niagara what Falls.
What is the most gratuitously awful sportsmanship you've witnessed on the pitch or in life?
Mm.
Shall we start with – well, Craig, you ask – who do you want to answer this question to start with?
Yeah. Vieira spitting in the face of Neil Ruddock was one that springs to mind. And then
– but then –
Neil Ruddock then taking it and tasting it and said, oh, you ate garlic last night.
Oh, my God.
Oh, God. That story just revolts me.
And from myself, I remember getting clattered into the net against Leicester City. The name will come to me, big Irish guy. I wouldn't want to fight him. But I was bundled over in the net, and it was a big ruckus. Everybody piled in. It was a late challenge on myself, so all our low masses piling in, Moncur's piling in, Sinclair's piling in, and they're all above me. It was just, and I'm on the ground. I can't even get up. But this guy was Neil Taggart, was his name. Right above me, I just see his sack, and I take my glove, great grip. And I grabbed a hold of his lunch kit, and I had the meat and two veg, and I fucking squeezed like you would never squeeze before. And he went fucking, it was like a bull with a rope tied around his nuts. He went fucking ballistic. He was throwing punches at everybody, and fucking he got sent off. They didn't see nothing from me because I'm on the pile underneath.
It's amazing.
Wow. It was just great. I just had the perfect grip. All of it. Crunched a couple nuts.
That's good. That's why, you know, like Dubs often comes up with a great answer and then frames a question to make herself look good. That's what Craig did with this one. Because that's fantastic.
It's fantastic.
How many points would you give yourself, Craig?
It's not for me to give points. 10.
I gave you 10. I'll agree with it. I love that story.
You ever had anything similar to that, Dubs?
No. And we've talked about this on the pod before, like the dark arts and on corner kicks or set pieces, you're just grabbing shit. And sometimes you grab in another regions. You absolutely do. But purple what I nurple. Call it bed. Yeah. Also, or like elbows. But I would say, I don't know if we're going to me. Are we going to me? Is this mine? Is my answer? Yeah, I would say like for me personally, like just spitting to me is just absolutely reprehensible. Like it's just the most disgusting display of sportsmanship. And this is also something we've talked about, one that I've seen not personally, it's happened before in a game, but like just a string of bad behavior was this player in the NCAA who would routinely grab other players or the opposition's ponytails and pull them down. And like, just don't grab hair. Like, don't do that. That's awful, right? Anyway, so you can look that one up on YouTube. It's a good one.
Yeah, I've seen that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's atrocious. Like, I don't understand why that behavior could even be like, so even post, you could go, hey, I've seen what you do it again, you're out of the league. I don't understand that.
Mm-hmm.
How she got away with it so much. Anyways.
Yep.
That's good. How many points do you think for that one? Craig got 10 for his.
Yeah, so. But he grabbed a lunch kit.
Yeah, that deserves 10 points.
Seven. I'd say seven for Amy.
Okay.
Only because there's no lunch kit to grab.
Well, I could figure something out. punch her in the box. I don't know. Well, if she's, you know, the box, the penalty box. Greg, you're supposed to ask. You're running this question. This is
yeah,
your question.
Well, Wonger, this are yours.
Oh, bad sportsmanship. Never. There's been spitting and all that kind of stuff. The one that sticks out was the racism card on me. And playing Ottawa U, and I was having a pretty good game, caused a slot back to have a fumble. And then we're playing at Frank Clair Stadium at Lansdowne there. And then I got an interception. It got called back, but it was like a one-handed, really great catch. And at the midway through the game, the guy comes up to me and goes, "You fucking egg roll." And I went, "What?" And I'd never been called anything. It was the one place of solace that I never had to deal with racism. And because you got to hit the guy again. Well, like, so people don't usually do that. So I go, "Did you just," and like, it was so racist and dumb, but it stunned me because you don't know how to react. So then I'm furious, like 5 seconds after, too late. Right. And I don't really match up with them the rest of the game because I'm tracking this guy. I want to get this guy. But you have to play in your position, and you, like, I'm free safety, so you can't fuck around. You're the last line of defense for a goal, right? You're the goalkeeper of football. And I'm trying to track this guy down. I don't get a chance, and he doesn't show up in the handshake lineup because I was going to punch him in the face. And that was literally, I told my teammates, I go, "If this guy's going, I'm punching him. So you guys, if there needs to be a breakup, get ready." And he never showed up in the lineup.
Scumbag.
Yep. I still remember his name.
What's his name?
Anyways. No, I'm not going to say, but yeah. He knows who he is, motherfucker.
If it makes you feel better, Wonga, I love egg rolls.
Me too.
Me too.
They really are fantastic.
I should have said, like, if I had the wits about me, but it was so out of, like, a racist comment with fucking and that I shouldn't be on the field with them, you know, mm-hmm. like one of those. And this is, you know, early, almost 90s, right? So late 80s, early 90s.
And what was the guy's position again?
He was a slot back.
So. That's the comparable for women's soccer from the lunch kit. It's the slot back.
Everybody likes the slot back.
Grabbed it by the slot back.
Oh, slot, especially.
Great. So
that's a 10, Wonger.
Yeah, full marks.
Yeah, that was fantastic. Was
oh, there you go.
I also want to punch that guy in the face.
Thank you. 10. 10 for the racism card. Right.
JC, what do you got?
Well, it's hard to follow up. That was an awful story, but a great story. And I hope that we run into him one day when we're all out together. But so mine's not, I mean, I guess it's a game. I was at the Canadian Tire. When I go to the Canadian Tire here in the Fort Erie, I like to go to the clearance section, which is all the returned items, etc., because you always get a great deal. So I was in there a few months back, and there was an air fryer. Oh, boy, it was on for $50 down from $150. I'm like, wowzers, trousers. So I grabbed the air fryer, and I'm, you know, I'm still looking at some other stuff. And this lady comes over, and she says, "Oh, that's my air fryer." I said, "Oh, I'm, what do you mean?" She's like, "I saw that earlier. I want it now." I'm like, "Well, I think," I'm like, I grabbed it. I'm sorry. I'm going to take it home. She grabbed it out of my hand and smashed it on the ground and said, "Now no one can have it."
Jesus.
And I was like, wow. And then she got removed from the store because apparently she does things like that, and she was hammered. But yeah, that was very shocking. And then they marked it down even further to like $20. So
that's, you got it for $20.
I don't think JC heard you, Sharms. Oh, did no? You hear what Sharm said?
No.
I said that's how you met Mel.
Happily ever after. Bailed her out.
And then I married her.
That is awful though, right? That's traumatic actually.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She was, that was this good. Close.
That's, no, that's a great 10. Story.
No, I think that's a 10. It's, yeah. It's as good as my racism card.
Fair. Okay. 10.
Yes. I like 10s.
I actually like to cook egg rolls in my air fryer.
Germs?
Well, I mean, this isn't my answer, but I have been told numerous times to go back home and to let a Canadian person have my job. I've been told that before, but I can't really drop that. It's not a racism card. It's an anti-English card. It's still awful.
It's xenophobic.
But as a white, middle-aged, straight man, I can't really complain about that such thing.
I don't know, but it's weird when it's Craig who's saying it, though. No.
Yeah. that is true. Yeah.
Yes, yeah.
Suddenly, sometimes, like, wait a minute, Craig. Yeah. Are you talking to
fucking accent. Like,
no, Craig, I told you could use this once a week. That's your maximum.
No, I'm going to go with a guy called John Hopewadi. He was a Tongan rugby player, and he was a little bit controversial. During a 2001 match against the North Queensland Cowboys, he inserted fingers in three players' anuses.
All at once?
Not at the same time. It wasn't a bowling ball.
This was the night before at that party.
Look what I can do. I need three volunteers.
Come here, my homoerotic friends.
I call it the bowling ball game. No, Hopewadi, he got a 12-week ban for this, actually. Not the most sporting.
I have to say 12 weeks doesn't seem enough.
It's four per, right? It's like a month per.
Holy jeez.
He was known for his probing questions.
What a turn goes.
Yeah, a month for each probe.
But he was the bad boy of rugby league for a long time there, but that was his most infamous unsporting gesture.
Gregor?
What?
What? What does he get? What does he get on that?
Oh, I like that one. That was well, I didn't like that one, but I do like that one.
Yeah, depends on how you're feeling, I guess.
9.5.
Oh, all right. Okay.
You got a 7? All right.
Come on, anus is involved.
Yeah, anus is involved in sport. It's pretty funny. Sharms, whose turn is it? Your question.
That was my question.
Oh, I thought that was.
Question. Oh yeah, I should get
your other question. Yeah.
Huh? Sorry. I'm getting. It's as if I wrote two questions. I'm getting confused. Like,
almost as if.
It's like you did.
All right. My question is: Luton and Bournemouth. This past week was just crazy, right? Luton up 3-0. Bournemouth win 4-3. Is there a moment in your life when you just threw up your hands in the air? Maybe turned over a desk and said, what the actual fuck just happened? Is there that moment? Dubs.
Yes. I was racking my brain trying to come up with something sporting that was the equivalent. And then all of a sudden it came to me. It was when I realized that I was pregnant with twins.
Oh, good one.
Yeah. So JP's company had gone belly up. We had talked about having another kid, but it wasn't going to be then. Timing wasn't right. And before I took the pregnancy test, I knew I was pregnant. I like had the morning sickness already. And so like I knew before I peed on that stick that, and it was like, you've got the one line and then you've got the two lines. And I had like almost three lines. It was so clear that I was pregnant. I was like, so I burst into tears and had to like compose myself because Jack was 3 years old and running around. I didn't want him to think anything was wrong. And then we went in for the ultrasound and then the emotional swing of this moment. So the tech puts the ultrasound gel on the wand and puts it on my abdomen and goes, oh, so I was like, oh, fuck, we've got a problem here. We don't have a baby. There's a problem. And then she says, oh, but there's two. And so then the emotional swing in the moment was there's a problem. There's no baby. Something's gone wrong to you have two babies when this is not an ideal time to be having one baby. And so I started to laugh and I swore and like went through, like ran the gamut of emotions. And if there was a desk in that room, I would have flipped it.
That's good. And then she said they both have tails.
That's right. That's great. It's tough to beat that, isn't it?
Oh, that's brilliant.
Can we abort one?
Jeez.
The one with the tail. The one with the longish tail.
You could definitely have sold one, though, right? For sure.
Oh, yeah. Or a kidney.
What did you say, Shams?
You could have sold one.
Well, that's kind of tragic, isn't it?
Sophie's choice.
Twins?
Amy's choice.
They don't know. They're babies.
She'd sell them both now.
Just give me the score. This is going from bad to worse.
This is brilliant. I love that one. Charms?
Oh, that's amazing. Yeah. Is my answer or my any points I think you should give her?
Points.
Oh,
your question.
Oh, that's got to be it's got to be a tenner.
Yeah. A 10, Amy. Feel validated, gold star. you shared a lot there. That was a big share.
I did. It was maybe an overshare, but
yeah.
Okay.
All right.
Your mouse children.
Did you have a C-section?
No.
No, she's always bragging about it being natural.
Yeah.
Natural.
Yeah, poor almost ruined JP's shoes when they broke the water bag, Evie's water bag, the second one. He had to jump back from the table. And now we're oversharing. And moving on.
Seriously.
It's terrible.
He still has placenta on his bloodstone all these years later.
My mother-in-law threw out my daughter's placenta, thinking it was liver in the freezer. Because we had a home birth. Tony gave birth to Joe at home. And the placenta was like, you can do things with it, apparently, right? You can plant it and start the thing. Yeah. So we weren't sure what to do with it. So we had put it in the freezer in this bag. And mother-in-law stays with us. And she's cooking and cleaning out a freezer, because what else do mother-in-laws do when they're home alone? I found this old bag of liver. I threw it out. It was disgusting.
That's awful.
Yeah.
Not only that, you're lying, because that's when Charmin's proper started in your brain.
Oh, no.
Yeah. It was a placenta, garlic-flavored placenta.
Yeah, steak and placenta.
Steak and placenta, yeah, exactly.
Very healthy.
It's apparently great for the mother, right? That's why animals eat it.
Anyway. Yeah, that's why they're eating it, because, it's good for me.
Yeah, probably not. It just it smells delicious. I'm going to try some of this. That's what an animal in the world would say if it could speak English. All right, JC.
Well, I'll tell you, I was at my my daughter and son-in-law's house a few years back, and they just had their daughter. And I was trying to help out by cleaning out the kitchen. So I was in the freezer, and I saw this bag of liver, and I'm like, ugh, this is old and freezer burned. So I chucked it out. Little did I know, my daughter came in and said, Mom, what are you doing? That was our placenta. And I said, oh my goodness, I could probably fish it out of the dumpster. And so I went behind the dumpster and I fished it out, and it turns out it was a dead rat. So I was like, oh, and I flipped over the dumpster. Damn, man, that was a day. I'll tell you what.
It was you.
Delicious, by the
way. That was a fun month.
It was a fun month. Turn ghost.
Came out. I give JC 7 for that, because I forgot the great times when you stayed with us that month.
Nice.
Whose turn is it, Craig?
Flipping tables over in that getting beat 9-0 at Man United. I wanted to flip over some fucking tables.
Yeah. No kidding.
You felt useless, didn't you, back there?
Helpless.
Helpless is how you should have felt, actually.
In the room, was it like an anger in the room afterwards, or just a complete sense of defeat? What was it? What was the overriding emotion? Do you remember? And if not, just make it up.
I was pissed off a little bit. I think our whole game plan was off. No kidding. No 9-0. Yeah. George Burley was the team talk before. Is like, they won't expect us to attack. We were down 4-0 after 20 minutes. We were attacking. And then in the second half, we were like, instead of just defending it and getting out of there with a 5-0 or something like that, we kept doing stupid stuff like going forward and trying to nick a goal, and never was going to happen.
How tough was that for us to stay mentally engaged in that match? to not think about like afterwards or the embarrassment or all of that stuff, just to stay in the moment.
Yeah. That was really difficult. Really difficult. Just wave after wave. And they were trying to score as many as they could as well because of the goal differential on Blackburn at the time. They were trying to almost make it a 4-pointer, which they did. They didn't quite catch Blackburn in the end. But that's the difference between what you see most of the time now and when games are 4 or 5-0, that teams are just going to keep possession, don't want to get injured, aren't interested in necessarily scoring 7 or 8 goals. So, but on that occasion, Alex Ferguson wanted them to keep going and keep pummeling us to see if they could catch up some goal differential, which is understandable.
Anytime Craig gets to mention the 9-0, I have to give him 10 points.
Yeah, I'm with you.
You have to.
Fair.
I think it's right up there. For Canadian soccer stories, it's right up there with the 8-1 Honduras loss, right? It has this iconic feel to it within Canadian football circles, right?
Lore. It's
lore. It's lore.
Mythology,
yeah,
isn't it?
The time Canada got smashed 8-1, the time Canada's greatest ever goalkeeper gave up 9 goals against Manchester United, but still played really well. Could have been worse. Right? So, yeah, 10 points for that for sure. I like
Fantastic.
That.
Okay, Wunger? 10 points. So my what the fuck moment was there was a TV in my parents' room, a TV in the basement, and a TV in the living room. And so I knew my brother was upstairs watching football, so I went, I'll go watch football in my parents' bed with him. And so I wanted to scare him, so I snuck up the stairs all quietly. And I jump out and I go, ah! And he's whacking it to my parents. My dad, it had penthouse for him in his bedside table. And he's whacking it. And he's like, ah! And I'm like, ah! And we're both going, what the fuck? And like, I'm...
Don't look at me!
Yeah, stop looking at me!
Look,
I'm 12, and he's 14, and the biggest learn I found from that was don't whack off to your parents' porn in your parents' bed, and I was actually the one who was whacking off. And he got me.
Oh, no. Oh, it was you.
Have you ever seen a doctor like about this?
This is the end of the crying game. You just swapped the roles.
Totally. Of course it was you. Why did we even
Finkel and Einhorn and Finkel. Finkel and Einhorn.
I tried to blame it on his brother.
Oh, Wunger.
He's a troubled man.
He's so troubled.
This has given me great. Come on, give me the score.
Do you think you
love this one. You know that
story. We love Flaccid Four. Like, is this the last time we're going to do Flaccid Four?
I think it might be.
It might be.
I broke it.
You know what? See, Wunger has been waiting 4 years to regale that story. He's been waiting for his moment. And he's leveraged it into this segment. So for that, it's got to be -5 points. Because now I've got a vision in my head, and we all do, don't we? We've all got a vision, and it's not a vision I want. It doesn't sit comfortably in my head.
It's so freeing to finally tell that story.
Christ almighty. All right, -5 points.
Thank you.
Because, you know, I didn't think we could get go any lower than the sunny shirt, but I guess we can.
Are you gonna ask your question to yourself?
Well, I'll answer it.
Yeah,
that's what you were doing, Wunger.
Asking questions
for yourself.
The last 12 hours, twice I've thought
this just feels good.
First of all, I when I was trying to get questions for Flaccid Four,
yeah.
Once again, they weren't coming. That was one moment when I wanted to throw a desk over, and then and walking in this morning. Bright and early, 6 a.m. to start another full day of cooking because our head chef's away and the oven's broken. I'm like, what the actual fuck? Are you kidding me? Of all the freaking days for it to break, It's on my shift, and there's a huge order going out. What am I going to do? Pissed off. It's been a rough morning to start. So there you go. Yeah, I'm going to do the rain cloud emojis.
Yeah.
Where's the rain cloud background? There we go.
There it is. I'm going to give you an 8 for that because it's more on the empathy side. That you had to listen to my story.
And, I was going to say.
The broken oven, which, you know, that's what she said. So, yeah. So I'm going to give you an 8. 8's fair, right?
All right. I think so.
Okay.
Because it's still very, it's fresh in my mind. I'm still angry about it. So is Dubs with hers because she holds on to things.
Yeah.
But I think the rest of us are kind of moved on.
What a show today. I love this show today.
Who needs Jimmy?
Yeah. It's now, last question is our supporters club. Did they send one in?
No. I think because they didn't actually this week. Oh. I think because we go so long, they have actually sacrificed their time. But, you know, given the reception from our ex-players regarding questions, maybe we should just ditch the ex-players, apart from Dubs, always great questions, and give it to the supporters club.
No, when supporters Jimmy club, does one...
If you want back in, we'll still give it to you.
Okay. Well, that's 3. So I'm going to add 3. Up the scores.
It's a flaccid 3, but don't redo the opening.
Thanks.
You guys call it flaccid 4, but they're ready for footy comedy.
Redoing the opening post twins birth.
And it was a gaping jasm.
And the winner is of this week's Flaccid 4 is JC. John Conrad has won Flaccid 4 today.
I think that's good, 2 weeks in a row.
I think it is too. Yeah.
Yes.
Good for you. Well done. That's a dynasty.
Yeah.
That makes up for my cracked and broken air fryer.
Mm-hmm.
It's leaching microplastics into all of my food.
Nice.
All right, shall we move on to some footy picks? Courtesy Tony Bett. Let's roll it. All right, supporters club, we'll start with you. Because we miss you so much, footy supporters club. maybe I shouldn't because I can't find it now. Let me go on my phone here. Here we go. All right. So the supporters club, 3 bets. They actually, you tell you, it comes through. It's pretty lucrative. $5 wins us $87. They have Villa beating Everton in the Women's FA Cup. Mm. They have TFC beating New York City FC on the road this weekend. And West Brom to beat Bristol. Ooh, that's a tight one in the Championship. Which, by the way, is really exciting right now, the Championship. So, yeah, $5 wins, $87.
Wow.
Decent. Of course, very it's all good. Decent. Doesn't mean it's going to come through. It's decent if it works. Our pick is Spurs to beat Fulham.
Wait, that's who me? Picked that? Okay.
I did. Is that okay?
Yeah, yeah, I was going to veto it. It was JC.
Right.
As long as I don't pick it, it's okay.
Fulham's decent. Wonger is now a Spurs fan, 100%.
I do like them.
Yeah. He's fired. He's sacked Brentford. Now he's a Spurs fan because of the filthy shirt. Man City to beat Newcastle. Who had that?
Oh, me.
That was JC. Okay.
JC.
Yeah. Home City, of course. And Newcastle, a bit of a tailspin right now. I picked... Liverpool to beat United in the FA Cup. Just because the way they're playing right now. Salah got a start this week in the Europa League, scored 6-1 final, just bossed it once again. The kid's doing really well there.
We have Celtic. I think that as a group though, we have to approve said bet because that's you betting on your team.
That was a
what
new
do you
rule.
Guys think? Yeah.
Well, the bet's made now.
Oh, well, we approve it now because Mr. Authoritarian there.
Yeah. How about I just give it to Jimmy? Jimmy picked Liverpool to beat Man U. I picked Celtic to beat St. Johnstone in the Scottish Cup, Scottish Premier League. That makes sense?
Yes.
All right.
We'll allow it.
Craig, I want to
dodgy
story behind this. Craig's gone to the Bundesliga. He's picked Mainz to beat Bochum. Why?
Why? Because I think the two of them are distance apart, and I think Mainz will pick up the 3 points at home. You know, it's Bochum who doesn't do very well on the road.
It pays 124, minus 124, so it's a tight one there. But, yeah, that will really help boost our odds here. Olympic Lyon to beat FC Fleury in the French. Where's Fleury from? Is that a town?
They're at Dairy Queen, I think.
Is it a local Dairy Queen?
Or is it McDonald's? McDonald's or
Dairy Queen. Still very good.
Blizzard versus the Fleury. Sorry about that.
I was going to make a Marc-Andre Fleury joke, perhaps, but that's much better. $5 will win us $51 if ours come through.
And in our community pick, and this surprised me, it was West Ham versus Villa. 21% saying West Ham's going to win. Draw is 12%. Villa's 66%. I thought it might be a little closer, that's all, because of Jekyll and Hyde, West Ham. Right, Craig? They're all over the place, though. They could win this easily, too, couldn't they?
Big win this week, eh, Craig, in the Europa League.
Yeah, it was another quarterfinal for West Ham.
And that also, I'm not sure if it cemented it, but it really helped the coefficients. So fifth place could still qualify an English team for the Champions League. Had they lost, it would have screwed Spurs, probably, or maybe Villa.
Right. They got Leverkusen in the Europa League, though. That's a hell of a tie.
Yeah.
Who nearly went out, Leverkusen. They were minutes from going out.
It was crazy, wasn't it?
Did you realize that we didn't put a commercial break in this one either?
didn't JC go to a commercial?
I did say we'll be right back, so I guess we'll put one there.
Okay, yeah. Good.
I mean, we did put one there. That was on purpose. What are you doing? Fourth wall.
You know, it's funny, this whole thing, because there's two things in my life right now I have just these mental blocks for. One of which is putting commercial breaks in podcasts. I just don't think about it. It's weird. The other is removing the coffee thing from the Keurig machine in the morning. For some reason, my missus insists you must always take it out after you use it, the pod, right? And I can't remember. I always forget. So I always get in trouble every morning. For not removing, this is married life for you. These are such things. This is why three of the members of Footy Prime are divorced, probably.
Tony's up, right? A turn ghost.
Was your story at the beginning with that horrible man from Fox? Was that actually Tony?
Yes. And it wasn't in the TV studio. It was in my kitchen every morning.
You fucking idiot. You think you're so funny. And what about these fucking
pronounced
pods?
Keurig?
Just remove the Keurig pod. You fucking idiot. I hate you.
Yeah, there's that.
Well, you can't remove the pod, and then you forget to put in the commercial pod.
Yeah, that's right. On the pod. Fucking pods are bane of my existence these days. All right, anything else? Or is that it? Is it an hour, 20 minutes long enough?
NWSL kicks off this weekend.
Oh,
was looking to make a bet on said league, but we could not do that.
Who's going to win it this year, Dubs?
Oh, I don't know. Reigning champions Gotham are look very, very good. Big signings in the offseason. But I think 19 Canadians in NWSL this year. So 19? I'm looking forward to tracking them all. Yeah. Very exciting. And Janine Becky will likely or hopefully get minutes this weekend after a long and arduous road recovering from her ACL surgery.
Good for her. We'll get healthy in time for the Olympics, right?
Yep.
All right. We got a ton of pods this past week. If you haven't caught up, obviously MLS this weekend as well. We have Montreal 3 questions. We have a Vancouver 3 questions, a TFC 3 questions. Note I mentioned TFC last there. Don't upset anyone again. And, of course, MLS box-to-box, a fascinating conversation yesterday with former Minnesota United technical director Mark Watson and former teammate of Jimmy and Craig here. Really interesting stuff about the inner mechanisms of Major League Soccer's
machinations.
Machinations? Yeah, let's go with that. Anyway, It's fascinating stuff. Give it a whirl. Give them all a whirl. And make sure you like and subscribe to our YouTube channel. Check out wearefootyprime.com as well. And we'll be back on Monday to talk about what happened across the weekend, across the FA Cup. There's, I think there's three Premier League games this weekend.
Yeah. Where can you catch those? Where can you catch those games, though?
FA Cup? Or no. Premier League?
Premier League.
Will that be on Fubo TV, Wonger?
And if you wanted to watch Fubo TV, how would you get there?
You go to FuboTV.com/FootyPrime.
Footy Prime.
Yeah. There you have it.
See that?
All right, everyone. Hope you enjoyed that. My apologies for Sonny's filthy, crispy shirt. Bye.
This episode of Footy Prime has been brought to you by Fubo TV and by Tony Bett. Make sure to subscribe to Footy Prime wherever you get your podcasts and follow us on Twitter at @Footy_Prime and on Instagram at @FootyPrimeIG. And visit wearefootyprime.com and sign up for our newsletter.
It's starting to walk by itself.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market. Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.